views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Everybody to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Each show, we shine a spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyles, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. Being stuck can be one of the most frustrating situations, and I'm referring to all kinds of stuck. We can get stuck in a mental state, we can get stuck in an emotional space, and we can get stuck in a physical posture, like pain. I know when I'm stuck, the biggest gift I could receive that moment is just some hope of seeing a clearing, seeing a possibility of a pathway that gives me an option to give me freedom from that frustrating stuck space. That's why today I'm bringing the topic of acupuncture to the show, as this is truly a technique and a treatment we can receive to assist us in a shift and help us to redirect energy that is stuck and holding us back. I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, Dr. Lam, chiropractor and acupuncturist, whose care and concern for people is helping them to have freedom from being stuck and aligning them in a physical and energetic way to allow them to journey along the pathway that is hopefully pain-free and joyful. Dr. Lam has dedicated nearly the past 20 years of his career to assisting VIPs, very important patients, restore their vitality. He currently owns his own practice with a lovely supporting team at VIP Healthcare Clinic in Toronto, Canada, and joins us today to educate and share with us about ancient technique of acupuncture. Welcome, Dr. Lam.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm great. It was kind of a rough start there, and I love that. It always works out that way because we were kind of stuck and we needed to have that realigning energy, and here we are.
Well, this is the time to do it. It's a change in season, so everybody's got to be tuned up and ready to attack the summer as it approaches now.
Yes, yes. And tuned up, that's an interesting, I love that you said tuned up. Well, acupuncture is our topic, and just to really kick this off and start it, if you could give us a definition of, like, explain to us even what is acupuncture and why would I even bring this up when it comes to redirecting energy and clearing pathways?
Well, acupuncture is it's a method of treatment using natural means. And in the case of acupuncture, it's using needles. And the whole premises of acupuncture is basically based on one word. It's balance. We're trying to achieve balance in the human body. And the balance of the internal and external factors creates problems in most people that have diseases or illnesses. And acupuncture is a method of trying to control that balance and achieve that homeostasis, you can say, in the human body versus the external factors.
So, and I'm just going to repeat that. So when we're out of balance, let's say, you know, whether it's being stuck, and let's say, or it's something that's not flowing, you're not being able to take care of the left and the right side, then that can really create, like you said, some pain or discomfort or just something that we need to, and by doing it naturally, which is the way we want to do it, it can really help people. And I would say even it feels like to me, it would be like a faster way, like something that you'd feel almost right away. When people do come for acupuncture, is this something that takes a while? Like, does balance take some time to restore?
It all varies depending on the type of conditions or illnesses that the patient suffers. Generally, something that is acute or something that just came on out of nowhere, generally, if a patient gets treated quickly and addresses that illness quickly, the chances of recovering is much faster. Now, you have other cases where it becomes chronic, and that's cases where it does take some time to heal. And, you know, there's many different factors that create those type of illnesses. And that's why, you know, we're here to try to achieve that balance in that patient and try to create the, as quickly as possible to get them back to be on track and to be in a state of balance.
Right. Okay. So right now I'm imagining all the people that are listening thinking, well, I'm feeling unbalanced in this situation. I'm feeling unbalanced in that situation. And as I mentioned in the beginning, this can be anything from our mental state to a physical state to an emotional state. Who would be the, like, who could come, why would one even think of coming for acupuncture? Like, who are the people that you see? What are they coming to you for?
Well, the most common illness or symptoms that people come to me is basically pain. They come in here complaining of different areas of discomfort from neck, low back, digestion issues, hormonal issues, basically any discomfort that brings to their body, whether it's mentally or physical. They come in because they're hurting, and my job is to find out why they're hurting and try to create a way to solve that problem and to get rid of that pain. And so pain is the number one reason that people come to see me for acupuncture.
Okay, I love it. Okay, so I'm running my mind through this. So you're here, I'm in pain, and I think, okay, I want to go in. I'm going to try this acupuncture. What if you're saying your job, you know, you want to find out where's that pain coming from? Like, where is this originating from? When you see somebody and they've come into your office, they're sitting across from you and they're explaining all this, how do you even begin? Like, I can't even imagine. How would one begin? What are your tools that you could help that, like, figure out where this pain is coming from?
Well, the initial assessment basically is basically trying to find out the history of that patient. When did the problem come on? And is there an instance that happened, whether it's traumatic or whether it came out of nowhere? So if it's traumatic, sometimes we can tie it to that problem, but it's not always the case. People wake up out of bed and they get out of bed and say, oh, my back hurts. Oh, I need something to get rid of this back pain. And so we say, is it getting out of the bed that is causing the problem, or has this been a buildup of many years of stress, whether it's physical, mental, has been built up, and they just happen to get up from the bed, and that's what caused the pain. So it's a long history. It's almost an interview for a job. So you're interviewing that patient to try to get an answer. Why are they coming in? Where is the problem coming from, and how can we fix it?
Yes, and I love that you use the analogy of getting out of bed. How many times have we ever heard somebody, even ourselves, say, you know what, oh, I just woke up and I must have done something in my sleep, which, as you said, it could very well be the case. But sometimes if it's something built up or if it's paired with something else, how many times does the emotional state or something like that is the cause maybe the cause of a physical thing or can make it worse? Like, do you find that you have to work with emotions as well?
Absolutely. With acupuncture, you know, we basically don't just treat the symptoms. We try to find the cause of the problem. And many causes that bring upon diseases, it's not just physical or structural. A lot of times it can be a mental issue that creates the physical. Let's say, you know, you see a lot of people coming in, oh, I'm so stressed out with my work and my family. And all of a sudden you look at their neck and you feel, oh, my goodness, the muscles in your neck is hard as a rock. Now, what is it? Mm-hmm. Is it the work that's doing it, or is it the cause of the stress that's from their work or their family that's creating that stress? So they do tie in together. I mean, that's why you see many people, oh, it's stress that's creating this problem or this pain. So what is it, really the stress, or is it a combination of both the physical and the stress? So we got to decipher if it's one or the other, a combination of both.
Right. And I think, yeah, that's important for everybody sitting there going, whatever pain people are experiencing, there's a few things going on. Now, so that people really understand what acupuncture is, because we've mentioned the word needle, and we've mentioned the word, you know, pain and getting the treatment. How does, oh, you know what, we are going to end up going into commercial in about 1 minute, but if we can explain what is acupuncture, but when the music starts, we'll come right back and finish that.
Great. So acupuncture is basically a method of treatment to try to get rid of the symptoms and basically get the cause and find out what we can do to get rid of the problem in the patient. And using needles is one way to do it, and I can explain that later after the commercial break as to how that that is achieved.
Right, because I see it's funny. I did use a picture of, you know, what acupuncture is with those needles, you know, on social media when I posted it, or to let people know. And that's the first thing I think about often is, ooh, that's a needle thing. Do I want that? You know, I think, and that might be, I have no idea, I'm going to ask you that too, is what is that a fear that people actually are held back from even coming in to receive treatment, are the needles?
You know what, in my practice, I probably can say 5% would come in and say, you know, I'm afraid of needles. I'm really not willing to try acupuncture. And once they try it, they realize, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. So that's the general consensus. I rarely have people that say, I'm afraid of needles, and they actually do the acupuncture and it hurts. And it's actually the other way around.
I like that low 5%. When we come back, we'll find out exactly the process.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts. It's like she owns the place. And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're welcome back with Dr. Lam, acupuncture, and now we get to find out, what does the treatment look like, feel like? What is it like?
So basically, after the assessment, we figure out what is the symptom or the problem or the imbalance that's happening in the patient. So the patient would be gowned, and acupuncture needles would be placed in what is called meridian points. So our job is to decipher what the problem is. So the patient would be either sitting, lying on their back, or face down, depending on the problem and what kind of acupuncture points or meridian points that we need to use on that patient to try to clear out the imbalance and the stagnation or the blockage. So the patient would be either lying down or sitting, and basically I would clean out the area with some alcohol, and to then proceed on using the needle and inserting it, depending on the area, it could be a few millimeters to a few inches into the body and below the skin.
Wow, okay. I suddenly got shocked with the inches, which was just me being silly now. But when you said meridian, so we've got the meridians. If you could, so our listeners here, we all know what chakras are. Does it have anything to do with chakras and energy pathways that way, or is this a different system?
It's there's different descriptions of energy channels, along different professions. You know, like in acupuncture, we would call it meridians. In chiropractic, let's say that as chiropractors, we would call it nerve channels or nerve pathways that you know, we work with. So we have different descriptions, different professions, but when it comes down to it, it is the body's way of energy that is flowing through our systems. And with acupuncture, we have to decipher, like, where is the problem that is being blocked, and we try to go in there and free it up to get it back to where it's supposed to be.
Okay, I love that you said that in connection to nerve. I've never got to hear it that way, so that helps me. And when I think of, you know, somebody says, oh, there's something wrong with my nerves, or it feels like a pinched nerve or something with blockage, we're all very familiar with that. And when we're talking about what you're doing with the meridians, and would you say that when you put one of the acupuncture needles in, I was thinking of, okay, it's going to clear it, but now I'm thinking, okay, is the needle going in and is it blocking it? What is the needle doing once it goes into that meridian point?
So there's two different philosophies of understanding what happens when a needle goes into the skin. From the Eastern philosophy of the Chinese, let's say, we would say, okay, the needle is going in there to clear that blockage, which is kind of like if you picture like a hose in the garden hose, water flows through. And let's say there's a kink in that hose. So what is the kink in that hose that blocks the water to getting to the plant or the grass you're trying to water? So the needle actually goes in there and finds that kink and then unkinks and allows the water to flow, right? So that is one premise of what the Eastern philosophy says, that we're trying to clear that meridian, that energy channel. Now, you look at the Western philosophy, and they say, you know what, it's not a kink in the meridian. There's no such thing as meridians, they say, because they can't scientifically prove that it does exist. But they say, oh, right, you know what happens? If you specifically put these needles in certain points, you actually create some type of neurotransmitter or endorphin release, which is the natural painkillers in our body. And when that gets released, something miraculous happens in our body. We feel better, we feel less pain, and we feel more balanced. And, you know, that's how they try to understand what happens when a needle goes into our body.
So it's almost kind of like we're pinpointing that area where we need attention. Is there, you know, like the awareness to it, we're bringing awareness. Oh, I love how you said that, because now I'm imagining, you know, serotonin or, you know, oxygen, running through it and getting to there and saying, hey, pick me, you know. So when you're, okay, so imagine, and how many needles would somebody, what's the lowest to the biggest number that you've ever inserted?
You know, it depends on the condition. Usually more severe chronic cases, you can have up to 20 to 30 needles inside, or you can have as little as 3 or 4. So it just depends on the condition that the patient is coming in for.
Okay. Then how long would they, they're lying there or sitting there or whatever, and you've got the needles in, how long would they be there? And are they asked to focus on anything or do anything while they're receiving the treatment?
Well, when they receive the treatment, they can be lying there as short as 5 minutes and as long as half an hour, sometimes an hour. It just, like I said, it depends on each condition and the severity of the condition, the chronicity of the condition. But the patient would just be lying there or sitting there, and a lot of times they're so relaxed in that position that a lot of times they fall asleep. So I always tell them, you know, when they're in that position, just try not to roll over or move too much, because it can be detrimental.
Right. Actually, if they were to move, would that move the needle around so it wouldn't be in the right place? Or once you put it in there, it's pretty set.
It's pretty set in there, unless they hit that needle against something, whether they're on another body part or against a table. And, you know, some patients do move. Okay. Sometimes, you know, we have some patients that are technologically addicted to their cell phone. So even when they're getting their acupuncture treatments, they try to use their cell phone, and when they move, some needles fall out. And I had one instance where a patient did that, and then I put in, say, 20 needles, and I said, okay, how come I only have 19? Where did that one go? And we're looking around the whole room looking for it, and it's because she's moving around using her cell phone. So I recommend that, you know, try not to use your cell phone when you're doing acupuncture. That's not the best thing for you.
Note to everybody doing this, try to give yourself a little bit of that, because we are trying to send a message to that area and give it love and respect that time. Now, Is there something that you use as a device that helps to stimulate even more so, something to do with electro something or other?
Yes, electroacupuncture has been around, people trying to understand where it came from. But back in the 1800s, it was the French that actually discovered it. And they said that by using the electroacupuncture, it stimulates the needles further to get a greater effect of, what we're trying to achieve. So basically, it's a clip that you would attach to the needle, and that clip would be attached to an electrical device sending out different intensities of electrical impulses. So you actually feel the electricity going through the needle.
Oh my! Okay, wow. Now, is that something you would start somebody off right away, or would that be after you've been doing the acupuncture for a while, and then you say, you know what, I think we need to take this up a notch?
That varies upon different types of conditions being treated. Usually I do try to do without the electroacupuncture and just use manual manipulation of the needles by giving directions to stimulate that. And after a while, if I do a few treatments or whatever, I find that, you know what, this is not getting the effect that I want. And sometimes I would include the electroacupuncture in there to see if the patient responds better to that.
Okay. Because sometimes if the energy has either been, perhaps stuck or blocked for either some time or just like a really intense thing. Do you ever use the acupuncture for post-traumatic stress disorder? Is that something that somebody would come in for?
Absolutely. Acupuncture has been shown to have great effects on post-traumatic syndromes. Basically the mind and the body work together. I mean, that's what the Chinese traditional Chinese medicine believes in. And by making the mind in a balanced state, the body follows through and vice versa. So when you have patients that come in here with, traumatic experiences, they do find a lot of relaxation and basically getting back to where the state of balance is in their mind. And usually the mind is balanced, the body will follow and vice versa.
Well, yes, because when they do come in and you're doing that assessment, you're talking about the emotions, you're talking about their mental state, you're trying to find out what they can identify about what they're feeling. And then, as you said, you try to balance this with their body. Is it best for somebody to be in some kind of have a coaching session, a counseling session, some kind of awareness thing, or would it's going to work regardless?
I think that to get the desired effect, acupuncture is a good supplement as well as, psychotherapy or coaching and, advice from people that are professionally trained to help these patients get through these difficult times. So I think that to get the desired effect, the most optimal effect, I think combination of acupuncture and psychotherapy would definitely improve the chances of patients getting better.
Right. Okay. Oh, that actually makes me think of something not very familiar with hypnotherapy and stuff, but I guess all modalities, would that work? All of them can benefit, depends on whatever is working for somebody. Or do you find that some things work best with acupuncture than others?
Yeah, there's definitely some conditions and, because there's so many factors that are involved in many diseases, some patients will respond great to it. Other patients respond minimal, and other patients don't respond at all. So there's many factors that are involved with that. So, it's best for the patient to, to give a try and see how it works for them. And, the risk of, acupuncture is very minimal. So even if they say, oh, acupuncture, I tried, it doesn't work, there's really no serious side effects if, done by a proper practitioner, trained practitioner.
Right. Okay. Is there a way that you find, because I'm imagining, putting the needle in, getting the flow going, is there a physical state that that anybody can prepare better? Maybe, should they be more hydrated than other times or relaxed versus, pumped up? Maybe they should just have come from a marathon. Do you understand about the physical state? Is there a better way to prepare for this?
Well, generally, in preparation for an acupuncture treatment, the patient's always asked to make sure that they've eaten they have food in their body, and also make sure they go to the washroom before they lie down or sit down, because they're not moving for up to half an hour. So patients, you know, basically, they don't have to be, you know, psyched up for it or, you know, prepared for it. Unless some patients are that are afraid of needles, they're like, okay, I got to go and psych my mind up so that I can withstand these needles. But for the general part, when the needle goes in, it does feel like a little bit of a prick, like a mosquito bite, and then it's gone. So in terms of preparation, you know, like just the basic stuff, make sure you go to the washroom, make sure you eat so you're not hungry and you're uncomfortable. So that's the, you know, how you would prepare for yourself.
Okay. Because in my world, I was thinking, oh my goodness, should I eat lots of greens and maybe have some lemon juice? Maybe I'm not too acidic and I'm alkaline. I'm getting all that. I would love to hear, again, that commercial is going to come up quickly, but I'm so excited to hear about some stories that you've seen, some testimonials, like that kind of thing, where people have really experienced a transition and some benefits when we come back.
That great.
Great.
Excellent. Great.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Having a very interesting conversation about acupuncture with Dr. Lam. And before we go into some, I want to hear some really cool stories about something people have experienced in the change. But I was just thinking about... we should share with people, are these needles being inserted anywhere on the body? Like, are we going inside the mouth? Are we going inside the palm of the hand? Is it just on the outside, like the skin on the back and the arm? Where do these needles go and don't go?
Needles, basically, you know, it's picked by the practitioner to treat a certain condition that they're coming in for. And it can be applied to anywhere from basically the head to the toe. So the scalp, the face, the ears, basically all the way down to the toes. The areas that you would avoid are basically nothing internal, like orally or in the eyes or on the belly button. Those are the areas that, you know, we do not go into.
Okay, because I was thinking about toothaches or something like that. I thought, oh, maybe you would go into the gum, but no. Okay, so that's all good. So yes, and speaking of toothaches, has anybody come in for toothaches?
Absolutely, we have patients that have pain syndrome. So toothache is a very common one. We deal with some dentists in around the surrounding area, and they would refer patients to us. And TMJ is another condition that creates a lot of pain in the jaw. And toothache is another thing that follows. And generally, it basically allows us to decrease the pain by increasing the amount of endorphins inside the body by inserting needles at very strategic points in around the jaw, around the teeth, and in other areas in the body to create that effect. And endorphins, which are basically the natural body painkiller, has been shown to be like 200 times stronger than morphine. So that research that has stated that.
We have this pharmacy right in our own bodies. And I love that you just highlighted those things, that first of all, endorphins are our own body's natural painkillers. And you've just expressed how potent these are. And they're done naturally, just within our own selves. We don't need any external things. And I think that's a really great thing to share with everybody that who maybe is on painkillers and repeatedly, because it's very hard on the liver. And but we do know that people are looking for relief. They're suffering. They want out of this chronic or potentially very new situation. And I love that you mentioned that somebody like a dentist might refer you, because we are going to jump to those stories, but now I'm excited to think about of all the people that all the professions that would work alongside with you, who would refer you, like dentists. Who else? Are there other people right now that do refer you on a regular that you find, oh, you know what, we work really well with those, that kind of profession?
Generally, professions that deal with a lot of chronic pain cases, medical doctors, those that are open up to, Eastern type treatments like acupuncture and we try to deal with, practitioners that, have similar ideas of what we try to do is try to heal the body naturally. That's what we try to do. Try to minimize the side effects from drugs or surgery. And we try to prevent that from happening. And a lot of times we accomplish those goals on a very common basis.
I love that. I love that. And there, that's our segue to stories. Yes, if you would love to share some stories of people who perhaps have had that, have been able to prevent from going to extremes by doing this.
Absolutely. We have patients in our office that, are scheduled for surgery ankle surgeries or toe surgeries. They're suffering from some pain in the joints and the tendons. And after a few treatments, we were able to get rid of the pain, and they end up canceling their surgery dates with the surgeons, and they've been surgically free, and they're so happy and ecstatic about that. And when we start cutting up body parts, trying to fix things, in some cases or most cases there's going to be some side effects or residual effects from that. So we try to do conservative care first. Prevent, avoid any surgeries until it's like absolutely last resort.
I love it. There's such success in that, because when we do, like a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to have my, appendix out or my gallbladder out. And I mean, there are certain situations that might very well be necessary, but it shouldn't be taken as lightly as what it is. It's just a surgery that we're going to have some, like you said, body parts removed. And I'm going to share this and ask you a question. I actually grown up with my life having Raynaud's circulatory disease. It's a phenomena, actually.
Yes.
And it's for, really constricted capillaries. And I've experienced it in my feet. And that's why I'm a barefoot girl. Actually, I find the best thing for me is to go barefoot. But, mm-hmm. having that, the blood flow constricted and my toes turning purple and blue and then literally losing so much feeling for so long. When I was younger, I really thought I was facing having my toes removed, which is so, mm-hmm. thought of it right now. I'm so glad that we didn't do that. Would that be something that somebody would come to you for, like that?
Absolutely. That sounds to me like, like a circulation issue that creates imbalances. Wherever the circulation disruption might be, whether it's coming from the heart that's not pumping enough blood, or it can be going through the arteries and veins through the body. So with acupuncture is that we try to find out where those blockages are and allow the needles to take effect in creating more circulation around the area and to improve the flow of the blood. And the flow of the blood is, what we call the energy, which is called the qi in the acupuncture terminology. And by allowing that qi to flow properly, the symptoms you have, basically the Raynaud's phenomenon, as you call it, is trying to balance itself out so that more blood will get to the area. The symptoms of cold hands, cold feet will disappear.
Right. Yes. And I want to really highlight this to the listeners, what you said there. about finding where that circulatory issue was. Maybe it was the heart. Like, here we are, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, when I was growing up thinking, there's something wrong with my toes. That would be what I would see, right? I see something wrong with my mm-hmm. toes. That's my physical symptom. And so then I would, of course, go, oh, there's something wrong with my feet. And, you know, going through orthotics and shoes and socks and footwear and all these things. And yet decades later, really found out that it was my stress response when my heart was aching, when I was upset, when mm-hmm. I was, you know, emotionally distraught. This is when my flare-ups would happen quite often. And so there you go. It's a completely not even in the foot area, but the response was coming out there. And so that, I love that that's something that you would do when you sit and assess with somebody and talk with them and have that conversation. And so when now I'm so excited to hear about stories now, because have you ever had somebody come in for an addiction, maybe smoking or I don't even know, so like a food addiction or something? Are there any of those kind of fun stories?
Absolutely. We've had treatments for patients that have been on drugs, addictions, serious drugs, heroin addictions, to the point where, you know, these patients are on these medicine and these drugs where they basically turn them into a zombie. And so they're basically being treated, you know, from one drug to the next. So we're trying to alleviate the drug with another drug. So I've had really good success with that in helping these patients cope with these addictions. Drug addictions is more serious addictions compared to, let's say, smoking addictions. Although they work along the same premises, severity in the drug addiction is definitely more difficult to treat than I would say the smoking cessations.
Right, because those are powerful things. And is there when you're doing in the Chinese philosophy, does each meridian deal with a different thing? Like, oh, this is the addiction meridian, this is the, I don't know, you know, broken ankle meridian. Like, are they set like that, or how do the meridians work with each specific thing?
So each meridian is named after an organ. There's 14 main meridians that exist through your body, the lung, the heart, the spleen, the liver. All these meridians are named for a certain function. Some of these symptoms will, during the assessment, will allow us to pick out certain meridians to address those symptoms that they have. So it's not necessarily say, oh, this is the addiction meridian. It doesn't work like that. There's many different meridians that must be used in conjunction to address a certain problem or blockage or stagnation that the patients be diagnosed with.
Actually, it's funny when you say liver. Of course, in my world, I'm thinking, oh, that's where the anger emotion resides, or the, you know, the jealousy or something.
That's right.
That really passionate, but on the negative side of things. And would somebody come in and have you had an experience with somebody who comes in for emotional pain?
Absolutely. We see a lot of emotional issues, whether it's stress, whether it's anger issues, or whether it's just sensitivity issues. Some patients come in and they say, you know what, I cry all the time. I'm very sensitive to this. I'm very sensitive to that. So again, you know, as I analyze, you know, being in this health profession, we see the different types of diseases that we deal with. And, you know, if you analyze all the diseases that are out there, you understand that it is about balance. And every disease that is out there, you can analyze and say whether it's too much of or too little of. So if it's too little, we got to basically increase it. If it's too much of, we have to decrease it. And you can see all these diseases that we see on a daily basis, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you know, diabetes. What are these problems? And you analyze the patient's lifestyle and the problems, you can see that usually it's in excess. And that's where the problems comes in. And with the emotional states that you're referring to, it's the same thing. Whether they're too emotionally charged up or they're just not enough. So we got to fine-tune that and try to find a way to create that balance again. And once you create that balance, the patient's symptoms goes away and they live a normal life without having to deal with these symptoms.
I love that you use the word excess, meaning there's just too much. We do have a lot. There's so much in our lives. I do feel like a feeling of overwhelm that comes from a lot of people. And this includes everything from overeating chemicals, overconsuming of painkillers, overconsuming of emotion. And there's so much. And that's the excess. But at the same time, we're creating this blockage, not because we don't. Maybe we're not offering ourselves enough compassion or not offering ourselves enough help and assistance from others. Do you find that people are, have you seen, because you've been in your practice now, so VIP, I love that name, very important patients, VIP healthcare clinic, you're just under the 20-year mark for a little bit there, but have you noticed more people are coming more openly? Have you seen, not just because your business is amazing and wonderful and helpful, but because more people are saying yes to themselves?
Saying what again? Say it again. I didn't hear that.
Oh, saying yes. Like they're saying yes to themselves to say, I do need care and I will go for this. Like, are you noticing more people are accepting to receive treatment and help, having somebody else help them find balance than before, like when you first started? Or like, are people more open to this?
Well, you know what? Sometimes it's a level of desperate needs in the patient's life. They tried everything else, and you know what? I tried everything. I can't get the results I'm looking for. I'm going to give this a shot. And that's a lot of times we see that. And you know what's funny is I find that, speaking with males and females, I find that the men, they wait till the last minute in terms of getting help to try to give that, yes, let's give this a shot. As opposed to a woman, I think more in tune with their body, and they understand, hey, if I don't take care of this, something else is going to happen. So I'm going to take care of it right now and call somebody to help me. Whereas a man, they wait till basically everything breaks down and then they go for it.
Right. Yeah, there's no answer. Well, I have a comment on that. When we come back, a few more stories and a very thing about excess.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Oh, right. You know what? It's so funny. Every time the commercial comes on, I think, oh, I have to ask that question. Oh, I have to ask this question. And so one of them, just because I have two cats running around my house like crazy today, I just want to quickly just completely throw this in there. Can animals receive acupuncture?
Yes, acupuncture can be used on animals, although I don't partake in that practice. As you have to have some certifications and understanding the animal's anatomy and that sort of thing. So I don't do that per se, but I do know that acupuncture has been used, for animals and horse races as well. I know that some horse races do get acupuncture for their syndrome, for pain and problems that they get to help them race faster, get the pain down so they can perform better. So that is a known fact, yes.
Yes. Oh, I love that you said, of course, I love football. And I was just thinking, oh, I bet you a lot of sports athletes and people like that are doing it. Because as you said, it's increasing the endorphins and doing that. Speaking of endorphins and pain and everything, I'm actually drinking turmeric tea as we're doing the show. And
great.
I mean that's, you know, yes. And I know it's so tasty in a very, you know, herbaceous-y kind of way. But are there?
And I'm drinking ginger tea as we speak.
Is that more for the stomach? I'm trying. But, you know, what are the things that you – do you recommend that people – I mean, because they're natural stuff. We want to – you know, when I say supplements, I don't mean, you know, again, not like a painkiller, but natural things that can assist our bodies while you're doing – balancing these channels.
Well, supplements that, you know, influences the body to help with circulation – you know, I recommend a lot of omega-3s, fish oils, as well as, you know, herbs like turmeric that you're drinking, what you're drinking, or ginger tea. All these to help the body function better, to allow the circulation of blood and the flow of energy to be, you know, dispersed throughout the body in a more, you know, even or balanced way. Mm-hmm. So definitely herbs and supplements and nutrition is so important in health that we can't avoid that. I mean, acupuncture is great for helping with these symptoms and disease, but in overall encompassing the patient's health, nutrition aspect is very important. The mental aspect is very important. The physical structure is also very important. So all these things encompass into patients, how they're going to respond and how healthy they will become if they take care of all these aspects of their health.
Yes, and as you said, it's balance in our lives, but it's imbalance in all of those categories that put together. Because you do yourself, so you have a clinic that people can come into and see you personally, but if they were far away from you, are there... There are certain things that you do recommend. You have a line of supplements that you have on your website. And if you could share with us, what is your website address and how can people, just in case they want to say hello and I have a question for you, how can they get in touch with you?
Right. Well, they can look at us on our website at viphealth.ca. We're also on Facebook as well as Yelp and Google. If you just you know, type in our address or VIP Healthcare Clinic, we're the only one with a name like that in Toronto, so they can find us through that. And if anything, they can just give us a call, and once they find us, and we can definitely help them with any questions that they might have, or even set up a free consultation to come in and just discuss the problem at no charge.
Yeah, and I think I thank you so much for offering that to people. I think there's some fears, very vulnerable state that people can be in. As you, as we were talking about this just before the break, between men and women, some people really do wait till the last minute. Like, it's so overwhelming. And when our bodies get in a state of stress like that, that becomes fear. And then it's almost like everything gets shut down to even saying, you know, I'm going to try this. So if we can, I love it. Thank you so much for offering that to people for a free consultation, because that really allows them to say, you know what, I've got nothing to lose here. I really could go
exactly.
in and just find peace. Yes. And so you have a team there that supports you, but you are also a chiropractor. So I want to bring this up too, because, oh, I was going to ask, is talking about chiropractic or say massage therapy, does the acupuncture happen prior to those treatments or after? Like, what would the process be? What were the steps?
Depends on the patient's needs and their conditions. And sometimes the patient will try it both, whether it's before or after massage. But most of the time, you know, like let's say the patient's coming in with back pain and they have a lot of muscle spasms and I try to work with them. I say, you know what, I can't get this muscle to relax or the bones to move in the way that I want them because of the spot spasm. So, you know what, why don't we do the acupuncture first and just to relieve that tightness and that increase a little more circulation in that area. So that way it'd be a lot easier for me to work on it. So sometimes in some patients I do request that, but I leave it up to the patient to try it out and see what works best for them. And then they make the rest request at the front and book it like, I want my acupuncture first and then my chiropractic session, or I want my massage first and then my chiropractor. Most times they don't request it unless it's that condition.
Okay. Because at first I was thinking, oh, they get the massage, it'll be oily, and then you'll have to, you know, the nails will flip around in there. But I do love that. Are these needles specific? Do they come from somewhere? So, what, like, is this 2,000 years old or 5,000 years old? Like, what did they use back then? Do they have these fine needles back then?
Well, back in the day, thousands of years ago, I mean, it's been traced back to about almost 3,500 years ago. They didn't have any metal, so they don't have needles that made from metal. So they would make it from either bamboos or even stones. They would use these stones that would carve into the fine needle points, and they would use that instead. So it's evolved a long way now. With all the technology and the resources that we have, we use sterilized needles that are disposable. So we use it once and we throw it out. So there's no harm or risk of contaminations from patient to patient. Because back in the day, the acupuncturist would just use the needle and then sterilize it with some sterilizing agent, and then reuse it again. So, and then ever since the AIDS came into in the 80s, they said, everybody's scared of it. Let's get rid of all this. Let's go with the disposable needles.
Right. And I think that, it's just peace of mind. Somebody going, it's a fresh one. It's a new one. It's been disposed. I think as everybody listening out there, there's so many conditions as we've discussed. There's from addictions to pain, to discomfort, to brokenness or not working that settling the mind, getting that all organized. Okay, what am I going to experience? What are those I'm going to think about? And then really pairing it with all these other modalities that we can use. We were going to say that, but you are also a chiropractor. So when I love that you said that sometimes you might not be able to manipulate a certain movement and you think, hey, we're going to do some acupuncture and see if we can how often does that work?
Most cases that I deal with is the acute situations where the patient just threw their back out and they have severe muscle spasms. Mm. Those are the major ones. Or there's some cases where it's chronic, where the patient's been so tight and stiff for over many years and really has done nothing for it. And so when they come in, they're like their spine is like a block of cement. You're trying to move that cement, it's not moving. And what we try to do is try to soften up the area first before we try to move it in. And those cases take a little more time.
Yes. Okay. I'm imagining people going in and having. I would love to share with people the most. Let's give them the best case scenario. Do you have a couple miracle stories that really stick out in your mind that really have either shocked you or that you're really pleased with and just make you feel happy that somebody's experienced that?
Well, the best story that I can come up with just recently was last year around November, December. A patient came in and she's basically 2 weeks, she's pregnant and she's 2 weeks overdue. And, she didn't want to go with any drugs in her body to induce the labor. So her medical doctor recommended to go try acupuncture. So she came in to see me and I used the needles to stimulate the uterus to contract. And funny, after she left that night, the next day was the delivery. So whether that is a coincidence or whether whatever I did helped, it doesn't matter. So the goal was to get that baby out, and the baby came out.
Yes.
So I'm happy, and she's very happy with that. So that was pretty cool.
She's very grateful. 2 weeks, that's a walk with the baby than 2 weeks earlier.
Yep.
So you can, it's so interesting that you can use it. So you can use this while you're pregnant, and in fact, it'll help you, could help you do that. I love these, the stories of really that success. And when I'm thinking of all these, I still have 2 minutes, so we can do this. But my sister used to go for headaches, migraines, and a lot of people have migraines. This is just, from all kinds of things. I don't have an understanding of migraines very well because it seems that it can come from anything from food sensitivities to stress or to being on the computer or the iPhone or phone, just as much as you were saying earlier, technology dependent. Do you see a lot of people come in for that, and have you had great success with that?
Headaches is a very tricky diagnosis. because it can come from many factors. And once you get to understand the patient's history and what they're doing in their life, you can, estimate as to where the problem is coming from. And so using acupuncture to help with headaches is a great tool because it allows us to, address those areas that, say, it's coming, from a circulation issue or a structural issue the acupuncture can relieve the imbalances in the area that causes the headaches. But like I said, headaches can come from many factors, so you have to do a full thorough history before even considering acupuncture, because many other factors can create that headache too.
Right. And you, in fact, actually would get feedback from the acupuncture, because you'll say, hey, when we did it in this meridian, it felt better here and there. Now, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your care with me and with everybody listening.
Yes.
And invite everybody to track you down on Facebook. And I just became your friend on Facebook, so it's The
Great
Health. I love that. Thank you. And I want everybody just to really connect with you. You've really actually helped me understand it the best I've ever understood it. And you're just positioned, and you're so pleasant.
That's great. Well, I have something to mention to you, Lisa. Just give me 1 second. I want to let you know that all the listeners on your show today, if they were to call in today and book an appointment to have an acupuncture assessment, what we're doing a fundraising right for now for this 14-year-old girl that we're doing. Her name's Nicole Costa. She was misdiagnosed last year with pneumonia, and it ended up that she had leukemia. So we're doing some fundraising for that. So anybody that calls in to book that appointment, we will waive the $100 initial fee, and they will charge or donate whatever they want to that fundraising at whatever they like.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. And I will post that on Facebook. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we will have you as a guest again, hopefully.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Dr. Lam.
Bye-bye.